this is an example of some of the part of the intervention that we put together. We did a cartoon, and we had an artist come and kind of chat with us. He had pictures of all the outreach workers and the main community nurse, and we developed this cartoon to help describe what we were doing and why flu vaccine was so important. So if you see the woman with the glasses, that's actually Flo the flu vaccine, who was modeled after Catherine Glidden, who is a co-author on this presentation, and she was the community nurse who was out there, like, you know, jabbing people in the streets. The guys in the yellow shirts are outreach workers, and so the idea was to make some materials that would be readily embraced by the community. So these are our yellow jackets that I was telling you about, how we stood out when we went to the community to give out the vaccination, and people saw the yellow jackets, they knew what we were there for. We had people on 125th Street lined up around the block to get vaccine in the second year. It was amazing. So year two, we were supposed to do this door-to-door sampling, and we were supposed to distribute vaccine, and then on Wednesdays, we were going to partner with the community site. And then, of course, the crisis. There was an end to the shortage around January, and then there was this huge glut of vaccine that was available, and no one was using it. We got some of it and managed to distribute influenza vaccine, but we actually had already gone through the process of doing pneumovax. So in year two, we actually did pneumovax to a couple of the neighborhoods and influenza to another two. We had talked about doing flumist, but our community board was very concerned because we were targeting people who were potentially immunocompromised, like elderly shut-ins, and the flumist actually isn't good for people who aren't completely healthy, so we decided not to go that route, although I have to say I don't work for the company that makes it, but they were willing to give us free vaccine. So, you know, we tapped into everything we thought we could. So these are our folks in the community getting ready to, they're at McDonald's, getting ready, it's a nice meeting place actually, getting ready to go out and do their work. This is them doing the door-to-door in the housing projects and housing apartment buildings in New York. This was challenging because sometimes we could get in and sometimes we couldn't. So year three. So just to go over the designs now that I have slides. So year one was enumeration. We had eight neighborhoods. Year two, we did distribution and ongoing enumeration in four of the neighborhoods, and the other four were control communities. And that, so we basically have a case crossover design. In year three, we did distribution in the other four neighborhoods and continue to do enumeration in all eight. So year three was when we did the rapid distribution. We did another round of door-to-door and venue-based sampling. We did flu vaccination distribution over 2 weeks via door-to-door, so actually knocking on people's door and saying, I have a syringe and I have flu vaccine. Are you interested after? I mean, that wasn't the complete message, but essentially that's what was happening. And then we did venue-based sampling. So there's on 125th Street in Harlem, in East Harlem, for example, there's a large supermarket, and we basically popped on the corner of the supermarket and was like, here we are. People already knew that we were going to be there. We had outreach workers bringing people to the point, and this is when we had people lined up around the block. So we were doing an accelerated pace because the idea was rapid distribution, not just distribution. So this is our big team for the rapid distribution phase. This is on 125th Street, right near where Clinton's building is. So the gentleman is an outreach worker, and the woman next to him is a nurse, and they're basically doing a tag team type of thing. So the outreach worker is kind of triaging people and getting them ready to be seen by the nurse. And in the background, you can see Michaela Cody, who's the first author on this presentation, and she oversaw everything. So this is what we did in terms of distribution. In our four neighborhoods in year three, we managed to distribute over 1,600 vaccines, pretty much just distributed relatively evenly between the neighborhoods. In terms of hard-to-reach vaccinations, 47% of the vaccines went to one type of hard-to-reach vaccinations, because the idea was to target them, but not necessarily to only vaccinate them, because if we had only vaccinated them, we would have excluded a lot of people in the community who might also be underserved but didn't meet these very specific populations, and that actually would have probably hampered our ability to serve people, because we would have excluded people and we would have been seen as not being fair. So the research question was, what was the interest in and correlates of vaccination in these neighborhoods? And so we used, this is data from our door-to-door and venue-based sampling, looking at interest in vaccination before and after the intervention. So this is the population characteristics. Mean age is 41, predominantly female, predominantly Hispanic or Latino, followed by black and then white and then other, and very economically disadvantaged. We also looked, just as an aside, because there was so much economic disadvantage, we actually also looked at food insecurity, because we felt like monetary income probably wasn't a good enough measure of economic disparity, and there was a lot of food insecurity also. So looking at our data, in terms of interest in vaccination, we saw that quite a few people were actually interested in vaccination, about 80% in the pre-intervention and 94% in the post-intervention, so we managed to push it up a little bit. In terms of hard-to-reach populations, they're hard to reach, but that doesn't mean they don't want services. So about 88% of those folks wanted vaccine. Those who had previously been vaccinated wanted vaccine, and those who were medically contraindicated obviously didn't necessarily want vaccine, and those who were indicated for the vaccine did want it. So I have 1 minute left, so I'm going to go through the correlates really quickly. Basically, in a multivariate model, greater likelihood of being interested in vaccination was associated with being surveyed after our intervention. Yes. Being a member of a hard-to-reach population, having prior flu vaccination, and being medically indicated for the vaccine, and lower likelihood of interest was associated with a medical contraindication. So interest was high, and there's a significant increase after the intervention. The majority of these were very much underserved folks, and people who were part of the hard-to-reach populations didn't necessarily, they weren't hard to reach as far as we were concerned, because we were able to find them. So they're probably hard to reach from the primary care perspective. Finally, people who were in the intervention neighborhoods were more interested in receiving the vaccine compared to their interest before the intervention. We really need to think about bypassing really traditional modes of healthcare delivery and offering vaccination in non-traditional settings. And in New York City, we don't offer vaccines in pharmacies like we do in some other states. And this was a CBR intervention, and I think it was quite successful. We engendered a lot of trust in the community. It was a lot of hard work, but it was really worth it. And I think that these types of interventions really hold promise for doing some really great on the ground, eliminating economic and racial disparities kind of interventions. So I just wanted to acknowledge our team, and thank you very much.